Hey there, this is Seth Waters from Channel 9, coming to you from our beautiful Studio B here with a wonderful Visual Studio integration partner, Sam Basu. How are you doing, my friend?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about your company.
Absolutely. So we are Progress. We are in the business of making developers successful, and you may know us as Telerik.
Yeah.
So we make a big suite of products for all types of .NET applications and JavaScript applications, and we make UI controls that help augment the developer's experience as they're building apps.
So what are we talking about today?
Sure, so I'm pretty pumped about Xamarin. Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about the Xamarin promise, what's in it for .NET developers, and then we'll kind of talk about our controls and how we can help.
Fantastic, so tell us about Xamarin.
Sure, so once again, I'm Sam Basu. I'm a developer advocate at Progress for our Telerik products. So let's maybe take a small step back. Before we talk about Xamarin, it's 2017, and it's good to have choices as mobile developers as to how we build our applications. So this is my maybe 1 minute spiel on all things mobile and how you go about building your apps. So lowest hanging fruit, I think, is still mobile web. There is no reason why your website cannot work nicely on a mobile device. There are lots of frameworks that help you out. There is Twitter Bootstrap, there is Kendo UI, which we make. It's all open source. Don't make me pinch and zoom, make it work nicely. Now you can kind of take this on the other extreme. You could talk about like progressive web apps, which is using the web as a distribution model. You can kind of pin your websites to your home screen. You can have push notifications and offline sync, all that good stuff. But mobile web is still a legit strategy to go. Now, on the flip side of it is native, where you have three major platforms, iOS, Android, and Windows, and you build truly native apps for each of those platforms. Now, it's nice when you can do that. You're closest to the middle, best possible user experience, but it's hard.
Yeah.
Not that because the ecosystems and the platforms are hard, but for a single developer to know all three is hard. And it's harder for enterprises to support three different teams doing three different platforms and still having one code base. So if you have the time and resources, go native, but most likely you'd like to have a cross-platform solution. It's 2017, don't tell me your app doesn't work with my phone. So when you talk about cross-platform, there are a couple of solutions for you. Again, all of this depends, the technology stack that you pick really depends on your skills, the type of app you're making, your audience, what type of code base you want to keep maintaining moving forward. So if you're invested into the web stack, right? So if you're into JavaScript and Angular and TypeScript, go do the web stuff. So the hybrid mobile apps is still a legit thing. This is where you use Apache Cordova. You bundle up your HTML, CSS, and JavaScript assets, put it in the store. The user doesn't know it, but you're rendering your app inside of a giant web view. And if you do a nice job, the user should not notice. It just runs inside of a shell. Where hybrid apps get dinged a little bit is performance sometimes, because you are running inside of that shell. So now you talk about truly native apps, but that are also cross-platform. And in the last couple of years, this concept of JavaScript native apps has really come into prominence. The idea is to use JavaScript to build truly native apps for all platforms. So we make an open source framework called NativeScript, which I'm sure we have talked about, that works nicely with Angular. Facebook makes React Native, and the idea is the same. You write JavaScript for all your business logic, and then at runtime, the app renders native UI for each platform, but you're doing it from a single code base. So that's all the web stuff, but for the majority of us .NET developers, I think the ship has sailed, and we want to write C#, because that's what we are fond of. We want to write XAML, and that's exactly what the Xamarin cross-compiled solution is. You're writing truly native apps with the tools and the languages that you're comfortable with, and it runs on every platform natively. So that's the Xamarin promise. So I'm fond of all of these strategies and having the choice, but I tend to lean towards Xamarin nowadays.
Right. I mean, if you're a C# dev, this is something that you right up your alley.
Yeah, exactly. So this is kind of my, again, stepping back to see the bigger .NET picture, and I think it's important to see where Xamarin fits. It's an important piece of the puzzle. Starting 2016, when Xamarin got rolled into Microsoft, it lets them tell the story that with .NET, you can target all platforms. There's nothing you cannot target. So iOS, Android, anything under the sun. Xamarin, I mean, there are different .NETs now. There's .NET Framework, there's .NET Core. Xamarin still runs on Mono, but the tooling is exactly the same, and you're writing C# everywhere. And I like saying, like, this is not your grandpa's .NET. This is not your grandma's tooling. We have Visual Studio for Windows. We have Visual Studio for Mac, which is all native, and it's beautiful. So the dev experience has really come a long way, and we are starting to see integrations with .NET Standards, which is the API instrumentation layer that helps you share libraries between different .NETs. And then we're talking about XAML standards, which is also sharing, kind of abstracting away the XAML, the differences that are in XAML between WPF, UWP, Xamarin Forms, and so on. So it's a rich ecosystem, and it's going to keep getting better.
Of course.
Yep. So that's .NET. Now, I think for .NET developers, mobile development has been sort of democratized by Xamarin, because what better could you expect for you writing truly native apps that are cross-platform from a single code base using the stuff that you know? So I don't have to sell you on the promise of Xamarin, but clearly you can target iOS, Android. Some people forget that macOS is...
Really?
You can completely do macOS app stores using Xamarin. And then late last year, we had support for UWP, which is Universal Windows Platform.
Right.
The promise is, with Xamarin apps now, I can target all of the futuristic UWP devices, so phones, tablets, HoloLenses, Surface Hubs, you name it. And all of the smartwatches, like Android or iOS, and these smartwatches, you can target those with Xamarin.
That's amazing. So you can effectively have a single code base for a lot of the main functionality of all of these, and then maybe just change the UI code.
Yeah, and there are some nuances to that. We'll talk about it. And I mean, anytime we developers hear write once and run everywhere, we are a little suspect. But the promise is there, and the tools are there. It's just some little tweaking. Samsung has an operating system called Tizen, which actually also has support for Xamarin. So you can have your Xamarin apps run on your fridge.
Oh, that's amazing.
So how cool is that? So again, the tooling has come a long way. IDEs, Visual Studio for Mac and Windows. The rest of the tooling that you need to build your mobile apps, your testing solutions, your deployment, your automated testing, your distribution models, all of those things are in place. The whole DevOps story around Xamarin is very solid. So again, it's very inviting for .NET developers to jump into this, because there is no barrier to entry. It's completely free for everybody to get started on. So that's why I love Xamarin, obviously. So let's talk a little bit about the Xamarin technology stack. Like, what is it that you're exactly doing with Xamarin apps? So this is, again, the siloed approach of building native apps, which, again, I mean, you might have a true justification for it if you're building a game, or if you have, or if you just want to do an iOS app. Sure, go for it. But know that you're not going to have some code sharing between platforms, and you have three very different platforms and IDEs and environments to support. So this is where the traditional Xamarin approach comes in. This is where we kind of started off with MonoTouch and MonoDevelop days. So essentially, we are saying, OK, hang on, let's write our business layer in an abstraction that is C#. Mm-hmm. That's going to compile down to native bits. And then let's write three different UIs for three different platforms. So iOS, Android, and Windows, we'll write three different heads. But the core business logic of your app, what your app exactly does, that's written in C#, and that's shareable. So that's the first step. And I'll talk about our controls, but the point is we'll try to help you out no matter what approach you do. So this is still a legit approach. I'm a bigger fan of this, Xamarin Forms. This came out about two and a half years back. And the promise is, I shouldn't have to know iOS. I shouldn't have to know Android if I'm building Xamarin apps. Mm-hmm. I should just be able to write C# and XAML. So not only are you sharing your shared C# layer, you're also sharing your UI code.
I see. Well, when you're sharing the UI code, my question to you is, is it all, because I've seen shared code, mm-hmm. but things that are on Android and things that are on iOS look distinctively different. Couldn't get that out.
Yeah.
Does that make it look like some weird thing, or does it make it look like it's native? Android,
so
native iOS.
It looks native, but you have some choices. So essentially, this is a hard problem to solve.
Of course.
These are very different platforms. So we're talking about an abstraction. We're picking up the lowest common denominator to say a label is a label mm-hmm. on each platform. I should be able to write a label in my XAML markup, and then you go and render a native label on Android, iOS, and Windows, mm-hmm. and make it look like a native label on each platform. If you want to customize that, and like if you are a Facebook app, you want your app to look like the same everywhere.
Sure.
And then you can customize. You can have your own custom renderers and your own styling. But out of the box, all of the controls that you render with Xamarin Forms look native, because they are native to each platform.
Awesome.
So we are sharing UI code, and hopefully, I mean, Xamarin Forms, there's a reason it's called Xamarin Forms. It started out a very basic prototyping tool for enterprises, line of business, simple apps, mm-hmm. but it's come a long way, because C# developers and XAML aficionados, we love it. And so the tooling and the ecosystem is really catching up. People are actually building games with Xamarin Forms.
Oh, wow.
So this is very legit, and it's going to keep getting better.
Cool.
So I'm a big fan of this. So this is Xamarin Forms. Now, a couple of things. When we build apps with Xamarin, it's interesting to know that it is truly native. So when you compile down your C#, it's getting down to the ARM bits for iOS, and it's doing just-in-time compilation and building an APK package for Android. So it's truly native apps in terms of performance.
So it's not just some emulation or something?
No, okay. No, it's running on the Mono framework, so there is a tiny bit of an overhead in your app package, but the UI is truly native. There is nothing going on.
Cool.
And your C# code is just being compiled down to binary bits.
Awesome.
Yep. So that's the Xamarin promise. My friend James Montemagno and everybody else at Xamarin likes saying that there is nothing you cannot do from a Xamarin app that you can do from a native app, which is an interesting promise, and it's very true. And we'll talk about maybe some exceptions that you can take, and you can render native things on each platform if you want. In terms of APIs, you have complete access to Android, iOS, and Windows. There's nothing you cannot do.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's a pretty big promise. And as of middle of last year, as we know, Xamarin is open source, so everything that they do, their SDKs, their frameworks, their platforms, everything is out in the open. So go build it from source and contribute back if that's your game.
So this is awesome. I love Xamarin. I think it's great. But where does progress fit in with Xamarin?
Sure.
What is it that you are offering?
Yeah, let's talk about that. So, which is where we come in as Telerik UI for Xamarin. So as a professional Xamarin developer, you start out with the tools, and they're nice, and you can run your app, you can deploy it nicely. But then you discover that there are some complex UI that you're trying to render, mm-hmm. and those take time.
Yeah, I mean, they don't just take time. They take all of our time.
Yes. So some of these things are just not worth reinventing from the scratch because, mm-hmm. I mean, we spend a ton of engineering time to come up with these things from scratch. So we have a suite called UI for Xamarin, and it's meant to augment your Xamarin developer experience as you're building apps, especially line of business or enterprise apps, or even like for indie developers. Little things like rating controls and side drawers and list views, those are things that are hard. Mm-hmm. And in today's day and age, people are going to expect some things from your app. So don't sweat the details on the UI. Leave it to us. We'll make sure it's performant and rich.
Right.
You go write your app's functionality. So UI for Xamarin is really a bunch of polished UI controls. What's interesting to note is we have native suites for iOS, Android, and Windows. So what you're rendering is truly native controls. If you're doing Xamarin iOS, Xamarin Android, we'll give you wrappers that render the native bits. If you're doing Xamarin Forms, exact same story. It's just an abstraction. At runtime, it is the native chart. It is the native list view on each platform that we support.
I see. So it's not just some abstraction on top of it. You're like, for example, I don't know what things you've built, and you're going to show us, but let's just say you've built widget A. Mm-hmm. Is widget A going to be native on both iOS, Android, and Windows Phone?
Yes, absolutely.
Or is it going to be some kind of layered
thing? No, it's truly, because we start out building a native control, and then we build the wrapper. Then we build the abstraction on
top
of it.
I see. And so you build a native thing first for these platforms, and then you wrap them in a common interface for all. Okay, that's
so
awesome.
As a developer, you're just getting to write C# and XAML, nothing else. You don't have to know what's going on under the covers. We'll do the rendering natively at runtime. So it's interesting that since Xamarin developers come from a different background, I mean, you might be on a Windows or a Mac, we do support everything, so come as you are. We'll support whatever IDE you are using. If you're starting a Xamarin project from scratch, we'll give you some Visual Studio templates to kind of help you out. If not, you can just easily integrate into your existing project. We have different ways. I'll talk about how you can kind of download and get started. There are NuGet packages. You can just do a plain download. So nothing holding you back.
Awesome.
And I mean, I can try selling you on this all day long, but it's important that developers kind of play with it themselves.
Sure.
I mean, there are other offerings, to be honest. There's offerings from Syncfusion and DevExpress and Infragistics, so play around with these controls and see what works for you.
Sure.
We have native apps that are in stores on iOS, Android, so go get the apps on your phone. Play around. All of the controls are rendered on the app in a nice setting, so you can get to play around and see what works for you.
Awesome.
Yeah. So let's actually do that. I mean, we are in the business of making the best .NET UI for ninjas. That's been our thing. Mm-hmm. So the ninja continues to flourish. So let's take a look at the controls.
Let's do it.
Okay. So let me step out of my code here for a second. I'm going to go on my phone, and let's fire up this thing called a reflector, so I can show you my screen.
So this is your actual phone. Why don't you hold your phone up so people can see that you actually, that's an actual phone that's being emulated.
It's wirelessly over something called, it helps you show. Get this app from the App Store. It's called Telerik UI for Xamarin. And this is the one that has all of our controls, so you get to play around with it. So things like, let's just say, This is a busy indicator. So if your app is doing anything busy, don't keep the user just waiting and hanging out there. Just let them know that you're doing something busy. And all of these like animations, things are built in. The more complicated ones are things like charts, which is really something you don't want to create by hand because these are hard.
Yeah.
And getting the performance right is very hard. So all types of charts and graphs, you can, as you can think of, pie charts and area charts, and they have interactivity. So you can pinch and zoom, you can play around with it, line series and so on. I'll talk about maybe a little bit of the customizations that you can do, some of the animations that can be controlled. So those are the charts and graphs. Other things like calendar. This is something people use a lot because you want to integrate your app into the user's calendar.
And that's not something that you would ever.
No, you don't want ever
ever
want to, do this.
Want to build on your own. Like you don't have the time.
No.
At least I don't know.
No. So it integrates nicely with the user's calendar. You can kind of customize the look and feel of how these appointments look like. And then let's step out. This is something I'm actually pretty fond of. It's called the data form. So essentially, if you have a business object and you just want to render the UI, we can just take the business object and look at the properties on it. We can render the UI, and it has some validations built in. So as the user is typing it, you have some validations that are also cross-platform.
What does it look like, though? I mean,
I think this may crash. Oh, sorry. Oh. Yeah, I can show you this in code.
Absolutely.
When we go back to Visual Studio, but some of the validations and things like that are kind of built in. Mm-hmm. The gauges, these are all types of linear and vertical and other types of gauges,
which are cool.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
I'm a data guy. And
yeah,
so
this is perfect for building your dashboards. So if you have a company dashboard, anything you want to show, these gauges are pretty cool. Then this one is something that kind of looks innocuous, but it's got a lot behind the scenes. So this is our list view. It's got different types of layouts. Like if you're doing this on a tablet view versus a phone, you can switch out layouts. But more of what this does is behind the scenes in terms of virtualization. So you can bind this to hundreds and thousands of records. It's going to be fluid and performant. It's got load on demand and things like that. So it's got things like reorder. So I can tap and I can slide things around. There you go.
There you go.
Yeah. So all of these things that you expect, filtering, sorting, those things are built in. Rating controls, different types of rating controls. You can have stars. You can have rounded, any type of shapes that we can support. Let's go back. Tab views. There is a concept of a tab pages in Xamarin, but there is some work that goes on behind the scenes. This is kind of built in, and it looks nicer on Android. We render the tabs on the top, mm-hmm. and on iOS, you can have them at the bottom. So a lot of flexibility, essentially. So essentially, the reason I'm showing this to you is it's free for you to just go and play with it. You don't have to use it. Just see if these controls work for you, right? So that's the app. It's got most of our controls built in, and it actually has some code that shows you how to actually do this stuff.
Got it.
So like, for example, if you wanted to do let's go back to the busy indicator. If you wanted to have a custom indicator, you can bring in your own images and roll that. We're going to show you the code and how you do that.
That's cool.
Yeah, so play around with it. Don't get stuck. Just play around with it and make sure this truly works for you.
Absolutely. I mean, because with this app, you can actually go in there and see. Because one of the things that I have a hard time with is I'm not a creative kind of guy.
Right.
If I see something, I'm like, oh, I want to use that or I want to use that. Maybe use this as inspiration to build your particular application.
Exactly. Yep. Okay. So back to the slides. Let's talk about what this does. Let's show you some of the controls and kind of a little bit more about each of them, and then I'll show you some code.
Sure.
So obviously, we're known for charts and graphs. There is about a dozen or so charts, each with its own pan and zoom selections and tooltip visualizations. These are the things that are really hard to do if you're doing line of business apps. So do your charts. List views, pull to refresh. Like when you have a list view, you would like to like slide around. If you have a mailbox, you know left and right swipes. So those are things that are really hard to build again. So grab something that works out of the box. We have a demo where we bind this to like 100,000 records, and it doesn't bind or render all 100,000 at the same time because that's going to bring your app down. So it's smart. As you're scrolling, it renders the next 500 and so on.
Got it.
So it does some of that data binding type things. So this is the data form that I was talking about. See how the UI looks a little automated because we are not rendering the UI. We are simply giving it the data object to say, this is my employee object. Go render it on screen. And it just knows, oh, this is an integer, this is a label, this is a text box, and this is a plus minus
counter.
That's
really handy.
Yeah, so you don't have to render everything by hand, and then it has some of these validations built in. It has commit modes built in, so you can commit like multiple records at once or one at a time.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so that's the data form. Side drawer, I almost use this on every one of my apps. It's a nice way to kind of like tuck in your app's navigation. You can have like a settings screen, like Facebook and PayPal and these
sure.
apps do it. You can like slide in from a hamburger menu and you can have your app's navigation. So it's a nice way to just kind of tuck away some content for your app. Calendar, we talked about this. It's got all these different types of views, like week, month, year, and date views. You can have appointments. Nice thing is localization, because
oh, wow.
people don't always use English, right?
Oh, yeah,
so
of course.
You want to have it localized for whichever custom locale that you're trying to support. Moving on to gauges, we talked about this. So these are highly customizable. So each of the arrows and the symbols and the colors, everything is a palette. Everything has a very standard API. So another thing that we tried doing is when we build these controls, it shouldn't take you anything of a steep learning curve. It should be just plain XAML,
mm-hmm.
and just what you do for XAML informs, it should be an extension of what you do. So the
sure.
APIs and the C# code behind looks exactly what you would expect. So lots of gestures and API access to kind of customize. Tab view, we talked about this. Segmented UI is kind of an iOS specific thing, but it's kind of catching on to other platforms as well. So you have like three different buttons on screen, and each of the buttons have a little content underneath that.
That's cool.
Yeah. Autocomplete, don't make me type on a phone because it's not
yeah.
very convenient. So as I'm starting to type, show me suggestions. Could be single suggestions or multiple suggestions, and you can easily data bind. You can do starts with or contains, things like that. And then busy indicator, we talked about this. Don't ever let the user kind of be stuck.
Wonder.
Yeah, like why is my app not
yeah.
functioning? So have some sort of an indicator that you're doing something heavy. Radix controls, you can have heart symbols, stars, whatever. You can customize the shape.
That's
and
awesome.
Essentially, it's easy to data bind to a business object back there that just has, I mean, and all of these things have two-way data binding. So you bind it to an object that renders your UI on screen. Then anytime the object changes, the UI refreshes automatically.
Got it.
Because, I mean, that's natural in two-way data binding. Same way with the rating control. So how do we actually get this stuff?
Yeah.
Where do you get started? So hopefully you see the promise. Where do you actually get started? So let me take you to my browser. And this is where we are at. Telerik.com/Xamarin.UI.
Okay.
Just do a search for it if you cannot remember this. This is where it starts. This is the product page that shows you all of the controls and essentially what we do. And you can check out each of these controls in action. Now, how do you get started? So the easiest thing is if you have never used Telerik, just say try now. That's going to take you to a download page. Just hit download, one big red button. It just downloads the entire zip file.
Okay.
There is nothing we're hiding. You get the full solution. It's just a 30-day free trial.
Okay.
But you can play around with it and go to town. If you already have a Telerik account with us, then you can actually sign in. And then we'll give you an MSI package. So you can just hit install if you're in Visual Studio. It'll install the bits and just set it up all up for you. It'll give you Visual Studio templates and so on. So that's one way. And you can download. You can always manually pull in the bits. So essentially, when you download, you get some binaries. You get
Got
some
it.
Examples. You get some project templates. You can kind of handpick the binaries. And maybe you're not using everything. Out of, let's say, 30 controls, you're just using one. So
mm-hmm.
just get that one reference so you're not kind of adding bloat to your app package.
Absolutely.
Right. So do what you need for your app. So that's the product page. And then this is the docs page. So it's just docs.telerik.com and then going on to DevTools and then Xamarin. It talks about all of the controls and how you get started. So on Windows, for example, you can do an MSI and then you can have a project wizard which kind of steps you. So one thing is you can have an existing project where you can bring in the bits, or if you're starting a new project and if you already have the Telerik bits, we'll give you some Visual Studio templates. You can
right.
say file new project, Telerik Xamarin Forms app. And then we'll just ask you what you want to support, Android, iOS, and so on. And we'll kind of drop the bits in there for you so
Got
you
it.
Don't have to get it. Right. Same with Visual Studio for Mac. There's a project wizard, essentially. It's just an IDE extension. And when you do that, it just lights up this UI where you can go into .NET and build a Telerik Forms app. And again, we'll just put all the DLLs and the references in there for you.
Awesome.
Right. So that's the way in which you can download and get started. But let's actually go over to Visual Studio for Mac. I'm a big fan of Visual Studio for Mac. I mean,
cool.
If you told me like 3 years back that you will have a native polished Mac application that's Visual Studio, I'll laugh at you, but it's the reality. I mean, I have a VM on my Mac for Windows.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had to boot that up in like a month or so. because Visual Studio for Mac, for what I do for Azure and ASP.NET Core and Xamarin, it's beautiful.
Awesome.
So I like this stuff. So I'm in Visual Studio for Mac, and this is a standard Xamarin Forms project. So essentially, there is one portable class library, and then I have an iOS project for iOS-specific things. I don't have Android. I can easily add one, and you can also add Windows projects to
sure.
this. But this is essentially the portable class library, and I'm a developer who doesn't want to mess with iOS or Android too much. I don't know a whole lot, so
yeah.
I want to write as much code as I can in that shared portable class library. So the easiest way to get this our bits integrated is you right-click, same way in Visual Studio for Windows. So essentially say add NuGet package. And for the first time around, it's so I have two different things. This is the official NuGet gallery. This mm-hmm. is the Microsoft NuGet feed. You see NewtonSoft, because everybody tends to use NewtonSoft.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. So this is the official NuGet feed, the same thing that you get from Visual Studio. But then you can configure a different NuGet feed, essentially. You can actually host your own things. This is the one where I can show you how this is configured. I can go in here into my preferences, and let's say NuGet, and you see sources. So essentially, I have the official source, and then I have a Telerik NuGet source. It's nuget.telerik.com. The first time when you access this, it's going to ask you for your credentials, because you are getting into a NuGet gallery store. So you set that up one time, and then you're done. Beyond that, you can simply say on any project, iOS, Android, or PCL, you can say add NuGet package, point to the Telerik one, and you can say search for UI for, if I can type, yeah, for Xamarin. And it's giving you a whole bunch of things. Let's find the Xamarin ones. Okay, so
there it is.
Yeah. So if you just get this package, this is everything, right? So all of the controls and their dependencies are bundled into this, everything. So you get that one thing and you're done. You add this to your PCL or your iOS project, you're done. Now, there are some nuances to this. Let's say you don't want to get the whole thing because mm-hmm. you're just using one or two controls. Some of these controls are native, like the charts and graphs that I said. Other controls are also native, but they're just rendered using something called Skia Sharp, which is a 2D rendering UI engine.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to not use that, if you just want to do, let's say you're just doing the charts, then you can just get the Lite edition. So there's a Xamarin chart.lite if you just want to use the charts, if you just want to use some of the data controls, data visualization. So there are a couple of NuGet packages, essentially.
Got it.
But this one here is the mother of all packages that just gets you everything and you can get started. So just add that package and you should be good to go.
If you get the mother of all packages, is it going to render, like is your app just going to be a lot bigger or is there a size issue?
Not a whole lot, but yes, the DLLs for all of our controls will be in there.
Okay.
So this is the easier way around, but if you can customize, then you get a better experience.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's the NuGet feed. That's the easiest way to get it. And then once you are done, essentially in your packages, it's going to show up as Telerik UI for Xamarin.
Got it.
Essentially just that one reference, right? And that's it. That's all I need. So with that in place, I can do some fun stuff. So I'm a bit of an aviation geek. This, mm-hmm. this is an aviation app. So let me show you the app actually in action. Let's run this. So the rich and famous in the world don't fly like you and me do.
Of course not.
They have business jets. I used to work for a private aviation company. I'm a big fan of these business jets. They're very nice. They're really bad for the environment.
Yes, of course.
But they're super fancy. So Gulfstreams, Boeing business jets, you name it. So again, this is a super simple UI. I'm not a UI guy, but you can see that this is actually a Xamarin a Telerik list view. So it doesn't look like it's doing anything else, but it's doing a lot under the covers. So this is a list view. Let me show you what their engine, what the markup looks like. So I'm going to show you in my home view. This is XAML. It looks a little busy. Let's bring the font down just a notch. Oop. Hang on.
Oh, looks like our stuff broke.
Yeah, hang on. So let's do that. I was trying to minimize the font, so
right.
Essentially I hit a bad button, I think. Let's fire it up. See how quick Visual Studio for Mac
is. Yeah, I know. I was like, oh no, we're going to be here a while, but it
no.
wasn't.
All right. So go into our home view, which is where we are starting up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe under view, you can change it at the top?
Yeah, it's a preference. So let's go in here, bump it down just a little bit.
There you go.
Okay.
Oh, that was pretty fast.
Yeah. Okay, so this is my list view that I'm rendering. It doesn't look like much, but then this list view has some things that are kind of built in that really help you out. You want to do a pull to refresh. If this is a news type or a sports feed app, you want to refresh the user with fresh content, and he should be able to go up to the top of the screen and just do pull to refresh. Mm-hmm. Again, that's hard to kind of build by hand. So we just give you one setting, pull to refresh enabled, and then we have a simple method that says what happens when you do actually hit the pull to refresh. It's just one
callback.
One callback, and you can do whatever business logic you want. Swipe enabled, load on demand. So load on demand is when I go back up here. Oh, actually, I killed my simulator as well. Load on demand is when it's trying to bind your UI and you're giving it a whole bunch of things on the client side, which you shouldn't. But if you do, we want to protect your app a little bit. So it's going to be smart in how it renders. And as you go scroll down to the very bottom of the list, it's going to bind and go get the next 1,000 or so, your UI logic is. So this is it's actually pulling it down from the cloud. And then if I scroll all the way down, you'll see that it's actually going off. See, it doesn't have an image, but these are some of the load on demand aircrafts because it's
pulling them as you're going
down.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have the images, but it's pulling them down as we go. So some of those things are kind of built in. Item swipe. So this is interesting because most list views won't want to do this. And we have another crash. Let's see. My internet may not be the best, so I just choked on getting the bits down. So you're in here in Seattle, you own mm-hmm. a Gulfstream, and you want to fly
yeah,
out
I wish.
Wherever. Yeah, so you just essentially swipe these left and right things. These selections
oh,
and
cool.
these coloring, these are all things you can customize, and you can say, go and book this thing. So again, it is a standard list view, but it's a little bit on steroids. It does these fancy things. Then the other thing is, this is the side drawer that I was showing you. It just kind of nicely tucks away your app's content. You can have a somebody's image here, your profile, and your settings,
sure.
or your app's navigation can simply stay down here. This is the autocomplete that I was talking about. So if I start typing, see how it gives me a list of things, so I'm not having to type, and I can check the speed. This is a radial gauge. That's not very fast. Let's go a little faster. Gulfstreams are fast. It's showing you the speed here in miles per hour.
Got it.
Yeah. So that's neat. And then. Notice how some of these navigation things, like when I go in there, this thing is kind of built in. This is the tabbed pages,
cool.
so the navigation is built in. These are our charts and graphs. This is kind of taking aviation to the next level of going supersonic.
Yeah.
This is where you kind of break through the sound barrier. It's about 720 miles an hour, I think. So this is where you go really fast. I think Concorde was the only commercial jet which ever flew supersonic because it's not the best for the environment. You have a big sonic boom. So they only flew supersonic on transatlantic routes once they were on top of, once they were away from the land. They would only do it on top of the Atlantic. But all the military jets, Air Force jets, do supersonic. So these are some of the most popular supersonic jets, the MiGs, the F-15s, F-22s, this is the SR-71 Blackbird. So essentially, this is a graph that's plotting their Mach speeds versus the names.
That's cool.
Yeah. And then here's the same graph now done on a line chart. You notice a little bit of an animation. Mm-hmm. So again, just a simple chart, but again, it takes time to render these things. So a couple of things I wanted to show is, first thing is, if I go into my app delegate, each iOS project has this app delegate file. So you'll notice that some of these things, like the list view, the side drawer, the Cartesian chart, they have their own thing called a custom renderer.
Mm-hmm.
A custom renderer, to your point, essentially, when you say, I want to render a label from Xamarin Forms, it's going to be a native label on each platform,
mm-hmm.
but you cannot customize that thing. To customize it, you need a custom renderer.
Of course.
And all of our controls are native controls, and we have some customizations built in, so most of these controls are actually custom renderers.
I see.
I'm essentially registering the renderers before I actually use them.
Of course.
Same thing with in an Android project, I'll register them in a main activity.cs, and they'll be available for use.
Awesome.
And at any point of time, like this one here, is a custom renderer that's overriding the chart that we have, and it's overriding how the chart is drawn, so I can actually have an animation. So when I actually went into my chart here, so you see that little mm-hmm. animation thing, that is an iOS-specific thing. If I wanted to do this on Android, then I can write a custom renderer for Android and so on, or just leave it default, and then it's going to be the native default rendering for each platform.
Right.
Yeah. So Just a quick list of all of these controls. They're nice to play around with. Again, I showed you the sample app in stores. Mm-hmm. Play around with it, essentially, and see if those UI controls work for you. Our goal is to make developers more successful building Xamarin apps, and there are some things that are just really hard to create by hand. So grab something that's built in out of the box and then ship your apps faster.
Awesome. So to finish up, where should people go if they're interested to download these things?
Sure. So the one URL if you want to take home is this one here, Telerik.com/Xamarin UI. That's the product page that has links to the documentation, to the sample apps, to any of the GitHub repos that we have for other sample projects and so on, the docs and how to get downloaded and how to get started. Everything starts from just right there.
And the app, if they want to see how everything interacts, what's that called?
So on iOS or Android stores, just search for Telerik UI for Xamarin.
Awesome. Well, this is awesome, Sam. Yeah. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Anything else you'd like to add for those watching?
No, not really. Again, we are pretty pumped about Xamarin. So we are doing a lot of things. We are writing articles. We are doing webinars. We have some of the Xamarin guys joining us for webinars, and we are doing white papers and anything we can to augment the developer experience, making sure we are sharing the love and making Xamarin developers successful.
Awesome. Well, Sam, thanks so much for spending some time with us from Progress Software, also formerly known as Telerik.
Yep.
Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Thanks so much for watching. You're learning all about the awesome Visual Studio integration partners, in particular, Telerik's Xamarin UI. Thanks so much for watching, and we'll see you next time. Take care.
Thank you.